Two passages today. Two passages. I was talking about both of them, Tim. Don't read into it. Two passages today if you got a Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5 and Luke 17. It'll be up on the screens. We also have a YouVersion app where you can follow along notes. Let's read these together if we could. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, to encourage those who are timid, to take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with almost everyone. Oh, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Here's a couple always and nevers. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Look back a couple chapters, a couple books to Luke 17, verse 11. One of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible, Luke 17, verse 11, says, Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, and he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men or the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to this man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Let's pray. God, I thank you that your word brings life, that you transform our hearts that are hard, that are full of bitterness and rage, and you turn that, you soften our hearts into love and compassion and forgiveness. God, only you can do that. So God, I pray that your word would come alive. I pray that you would help us to see, God, where we are. God, you would help us to be evaluators of where we are in life. Not where we hope to be, but where we are right now. That we would be men and women who don't just say a motto or have a stance, but men and women who live this out. God, we need your help today. We need your strength today. We need you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. It's probably one of the most popular Thanksgiving messages, Luke 17. The story of Luke is one of Jesus' many road trips to Jerusalem. Typically, here's what a pastor will do. He'll acknowledge the Samaritan who returned to thank Jesus, kick the nine guys who didn't, and then ask the question, are you one of the 9? I think there's so much deeper things going on in the story than just 10 guys that got healed. I think there's so much deeper things that I want to slow the story down. You know, life is busy. Life is crazy. Our mind is busy. And I'm asking you today to slow down when we read Luke 17. To slow down as we dig deep into what it is that Jesus is saying to all of us. Because he's saying something to every single one of us in this room. There's insider information that is so pertinent to wherever it is that you're living. Whether you're young in the faith, whether you're old in the faith, whether you've been around the block, there's so many things that Jesus wants to remind us of. And for some of us, this might be brand new. Just know this, if it's brand new for you, God never looks at you and says, get to this place and then we can start. God says, I love you right where you are. This is your starting point, and that's what we celebrate. We celebrate that you are starting something beautiful, okay? So here's 10 men who have one of the most dreaded diseases of all time. The physical ramifications of leprosy are awful to consider, compounded by the fact that there was no medical solution. So here's what's happening. These 10 men, the physical ramifications are these 10 men have leprosy, which reprograms the body to where it actually ends up attacking itself, causing pigment changes in the skin, sores that don't heal, leaving the body vulnerable for severe, fatal infections. the loss of sensation in your nerve endings. Some of these things, in fact, if you read the Bible in the Old Testament or New Testament, anytime the Bible talks about leprosy, it's literally the only time that someone is cured of leprosy is by supernatural powers. Meaning, you get leprosy, you've just been given a death sentence. To understand it from an emotional standpoint. The emotional standpoint is once you get leprosy, you are quarantined and you're put outside the city. You're outside the city where, as you're outside the city, there's no physical touch, there's no family, there's no friends. It's not like you get to be at your house comfortable. It's literally you have no one around you. It's the most isolated thing that you could ever fathom. Never to embrace family. Never to embrace friends. They were required by law to say certain things. And some of the things that they were required to do is to yell every time they saw a person outside the city. They were to announce to them that they were unclean. You and I might have confident issues, but imagine the emotional toll that takes on one person's confidence. To every time you see someone who doesn't have leprosy, you have to keep your space between you, but you have to announce, unclean. And the announcement is, don't approach me. Don't come near me. Beth Moore, in her book, Jesus the One and Only, she talks about the occasion that she's traveled around the world and saw modern day leprosy. And she talks about a specific experience where she went to a room. And in this room, she was about to go in and minister, but she said she was so horrified by the smell that she never made it into the room. So imagine, you guys, we're not just reading a story about 10 men who got fixed one day. We're reading about 10 men who are literally dead physically, who are literally dead emotionally. And you and I both know our circumstances usually also kill us spiritually. Because you and I, let's be real, we allow circumstances to affect our emotions, our faith, how we worship that we worship. Why? Because of circumstances. Well, if we're going by that, then I would say these men had a valid excuse of interesting circumstances. All they had was one another. And the one another that they had was in the same boat. So Jesus comes by and they yell just like they always have. I'm sure they had heard of Jesus. I'm sure they had heard about the stories of Jesus. And yet when Jesus comes by, they yell, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus' words is, go show yourself to the priest. It is a crazy, interesting parallel to our lives. Because literally, this is a lesson on faith. This is a lesson to all of us because we need to pause and we need to see that this Thanksgiving week that you and I are about to experience, and you're going to go a lot of different places, you're going to be around a lot of different family, but if you and I wait until our problems are over to start walking in faith, I think we miss the best part about the process of God's power in our circumstances. We miss it because you cannot put conditions on a holy God. You cannot put conditions on what God is doing in this process. You can't say, Lord, as soon as there's enough money, I'm going to start being a giver. You can't say things like, Lord, if you would just solve this issue in my family, I'll start going to church again. I'll start following you again. God is not a genie that you can rub when you're in a difficult situation and now you come to him with your problems as if we're trading wishes. This is not who God is. And we know that faith without works is dead. And there are a lot of people in our city, in our community, in St. Louis, that say they have faith in Christ, but our choices and our actions usually refute this claim. You know, what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking for not a fake it until you make it mentality. He's looking for what he found in Noah, whose belief in God's warning about the flood moved him to build a boat. And you know what people said about Noah? That guy is crazy. It's dry. There's nothing going on here. Why are you building a boat for Abraham, who leaves the comfortable place of where he is? And God says, I'm just telling you to go, but I'm not telling you where to go. I'm just saying, trust me and go. And this is what this comes down to. This is a question of trust. This is a question of faith. And this is what God is looking for. Will you trust him beyond what you can see? You might be saying, God, I don't see a way out of this. And God's going, trust me. You might be saying, God, the last man that I trusted did this to me. How can I trust you? This is the process. This is the journey. Because every single one of us in this room, we've been hurt. We've been affected by people. God says, don't put me in that category. What is God holding in store? I think he takes us deeper. He says, offer thanksgiving. The Bible reports in this sentence, in this phrase, something very powerful. Hear what he says. He says, hey, go show yourself to the priest. And it says, and while they went, they were being healed. Oh, to have that on camera. As they were walking, as they were trusting, as they had faith, he didn't say be healed and they were healed. He said, as they went, as they obeyed. You want to know what you're missing out on, but you're being disobedient. So you're always going to miss out on what God has for you in your disobedience. But when you trust God and go as you are told, he said, as they went, as they trusted, as they obeyed, then they start. I don't know what this was like. I can only imagine in my mind that crutches started falling, skin started recovering, body parts started being formed again. And as they went, they were healed. Come on, get a picture today. And it says, one stopped in his tracks, and as he stopped, he turned and he came back. And as he came back, he offered thanksgiving, because always, you have to hear this, you always connect your blessings with the giver. Jesus asked two questions. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Because common decency, common culture, across cultural lines means when grace has been shown, you know how to say thanks. But Jesus' questions actually reveal something deeper, something ugly, I think, in all of us, in all of our hearts. He's going deeper than just whether we thanked him, because you and I have grown accustomed to comforts and conveniences that are viewed as extraordinary in most parts of the world, yet common grace is so common that I think you and I feel that we're entitled to it. Well, I'm an American. I live in the greatest land in all the world. And I know we may not say it like that, but I think sometimes we live it like that. That sometimes we don't say thanks because, you know, after all, I deserve this. After all, this is what's mine anyway. After all, I've been hurt so many times. It's time for me to feel good once in a while. These men didn't deserve anything. You and I, we don't deserve. You know what you and I deserve? We deserve death. Because our sin did that. Yet Jesus came and loved us so much that he gave his life so that we wouldn't get death. So before we start taking the mentality of I deserve this, or this is something that I feel like I should be entitled to, before we start heading down that path, understand what we really deserve. See, Before I can understand the power of the cross, I have to understand the craziness of sin. And not other people's sin, our sin. My sin. I can't look around and go, yeah, I understand that guy's sin. And oh man, look at her sin. I got to go, this is my sin. My sin. David said it this way. In Psalm 103, he said, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the bulldogs. I mean, eagles. Sorry. Hey, the Bible said it, you guys. I didn't say it. Somewhere on his way to a priest, this man had been healed and walked through the same spiritual exercise of the other nine. The other nine have been healed. The other nine got exactly what this guy got. The other nine were on their way to family, to friends, to the priest. They were on their way, yet one of them had gratitude and he returned to the one who had been so good to him. Sometime this week, on your own, I want you to stop, be deliberate, be intentional, be purposeful, and count your blessings. I challenge you to write them down. I challenge all of us to be reminded today on how blessed you are. But it means nothing if you don't connect your blessing to the one that gave you the blessings, to the one that you acknowledge. Listen, it's so easy to go, look what I've done. We'll be fighting this from our history has always fought this. You'll fight it today and we'll fight. Pride will always be the thing that the enemy will use to get us off of getting credit to where it's due. Because it's real easy to stand up and go, look what I did, you guys. Because we live in a culture that likes to pat people on the back. And listen, it really has nothing to do with what you've done. What? Those guys, what did they do? They were obedient. Great. But without Jesus, what's the matter? Did they heal themselves? No. Don't miss the grace in back of your blessing. Instead, look through them. Because God shows his love in those tender mercies. Listen, mercy equals praise. When the leper returned, he did two things. Two specific things. The Greek word for shout in verse 15 is where we get our word megaphone. That word literally means megaphone. That means that when this guy came back and said, praise God, he didn't say it quietly. It was a type of rejoicing that he didn't care what anybody else around him thought, felt, looked like. There was one concern and one concern only. I'm going to be as loud as I can because as much as I've been forgiven, as much as I've been healed, that reflects in my amount of praise. This is not a song problem. This is not a singing problem. This is a heart problem. That we forget what we've been forgiven of, and when we're reminded of what we forget, what we've been forgiven of, and what we've been healed from, and how his grace has been shown, we will not have a praise issue. I know this in comparison may be pretty cheesy, but if I told you today, you have the winning lottery ticket in your pocket and you just won $250 million, you aren't gonna go, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. You've been so good to me. Yeah? I mean, come on. Everybody's going to know, and you don't care, because right now, you're rich. You don't care what they think. You'll turn around and hire them to be your butler. Drive you around. You don't care what they think. Why? Because you just got something that you're pumped about. Christmas will never be the same. Right? It would be crazy if you and I thought, that guy's not even excited about this. Here's my fear, you guys. This is my fear for my life. It's my fear for every person I pastor, every person I'm in contact. Here's my fear. I don't want us to be awakened the day we stand before God, that we missed our opportunity to give God the praise that he is worthy of, all because we've allowed circumstances and life to get in our way. And instead of having the praise that we give to God because he's worthy of it, because he saved us, and now we're standing before eternity, and we're saying, like, God, I wish I would have known, I wish I would have understood. I pray that we understand right now what it is to be forgiven. And people that have forgiven much, they will praise much. Because forgiveness and mercy and grace and healing equals praise. Guys, I remember as a 19-year-old kid when I got this. Like, I remember when I got it. I can tell you where I was standing. I can tell you who was praying with me. I can tell you where I saw. Like, I was 19. I hadn't done that much bad stuff. But I got it. I got that I was in need of a Savior. I got that I needed rescued. I got that I needed forgiven. I got it, and it clicked, and I understood it. And it was easy to go, God, what do you want from me? How can I give you my life? Because when you and I have been forgiven, listen, we'll never see a song the same. And again, it's not whether you're doing this right now, because we need to be reminded. We forget. Life makes us forget. People make us forget. And we need to be reminded that Thanksgiving is not just a time in November. Thanksgiving is all year long, because this is what he's saying to us. Gratitude as worship. He shouts praises and he worshiped. Our gratitude to a loving, forgiving, healing God, whether it's worship or just quiet before, it says he shouted and he kneeled in worship. And the words that he uses is healed and cleansed. You know what that means? That means that he had no longer this disease, and it meant as if he never had had it. That's what cleanse meant. It meant it was as if he was never a leper before. It means he was completely whole, clean bill of health, no showing of leprosy. He could say to people, oh, yeah, I used to have leprosy, and they'd be like, get out of here. You didn't have leprosy. Why? Because you could see it on his face that he had been healed. You could see it in his body. So it is with us. If you've been saved, they should be able to see it on your face. They should be able to see it in your actions. They should be able to see it in your hugs. They should be able to see it in your handshake. They should be able to see it in how are you doing today. They should be able to see it in your compassion. This is what a world needs. They don't need to hear your testimony 24/7. They need to see a smile, you guys. That's what they need to see. There's no doubt in my mind that guy was smiling. Man, he was dead, but now is alive. Come on, something happened inside of him, and he worshiped. This is what Jesus was saying. He's saying, this is what I'm talking about. This is God's grace. It's supernatural. Listen, I can't save you. Your wife, she's awesome, she's disciplined, she's got Jesus, but she can't change you. Your kids are incredible. Your parents are incredible, but kids, your parents can't save you. At some point, this is not your parents' faith that's influencing you. It's got to be your faith. You got to decide what you believe. Because when I stand before Christ, he's not going to go, well, your mom and your daddy, they're really faithful. Good job. Come on in. We got to figure this out. See, we don't have a praise problem. We don't have a worship team problem. We don't have a right song selection problem. We got heart problems. We don't have stopping worship problems. We have heart problems. And Jesus recognized this. See this in Matthew 8. Because this was another way that Jesus shows us. Jesus was healing lepers. This is why we love Jesus. Let me show you this. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, this is what he says. Large crowds followed him. As he came down the mountainside, suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Understand that. Knelt before him. This was not only against the law, this was unheard of. Okay? Knelt before him. Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. Now, just for a second, if you're a spectator at this point, you are freaking out. Because Jesus did the unthinkable. Jesus did something he didn't do in Luke 17. He did something totally different to the crowd. He said a large crowd, okay? Not a handful of people, not just the disciples. He said a large crowd was following him. Jesus did the unthinkable. The unthinkable to this desperate man that needed healing, Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, I am willing, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed, that you have been made whole. Jesus is saying, for a moment, when after the third song or second song and we say, greet the person next to you, some of you, your huggers in this room, Lord bless you, you're more blessed today. Some of you, you're a handshake person, you're a pat on the back person, you're a whatever person, high fives or knuckles or whatever. You've touched someone. Whether it's a baby in your arms, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, you know what it feels like when someone extends love to you physically. Okay? We all know this. So imagine for a second you never have that. And if you've been leper for 30 years, you've had no one touch you. No one touch you and no one want to be around you. And now you have a man that kneels before you, and Jesus does something that has never been done since he's had leprosy, and he touches him. This is why you and I have hope, because you and I say, when we come to church and we say, God, you'd never forgive me, or God, you don't understand what I've done, or you say to people, you don't understand what I've done, and Jesus says, no, I touch the untouchable. I love the unlovable. I extend grace to the people who say that grace will never be extended to them, because this is what Jesus does. This is why you and I have hope. This is why you and I can be thankful. I get it. You have crazy circumstances. You have messed up situations. And some of us, it's life has happened. And some of us, we've just made mistakes. We've made bad decisions. And God says, don't worry. I've not given up on you. In fact, I extend my grace to you. We're going to get this thing right. We're going to work together. We're going to walk together. Watch what I do. Guys, don't stop looking at the process. In your process of becoming and arriving, don't miss the best part. The journey. The journey is so beautiful of what you're becoming. I know your marriage isn't where you want it to be. Don't miss the beauty of it becoming what it's supposed to be. I know your friendships and your relationships, and man, don't miss the process. And this is what God is saying. Let's have a relationship together. Let's walk together. And Jesus says, I've just done the unthinkable. If you're in this room today, in fact, I would even say this, you have neighbors and you have friends and you have coworkers and you have people in your life that they think there's no way God can forgive them. There's no way. They've said things like, that's good for you. I'm so glad you're getting your life together. I'm so glad all that's working out, but not for me, because I've done worse things. And Jesus does the unthinkable and says, watch, watch, watch. This man's dying of leprosy. Nobody's touching him. He reaches out and he touches and he changes. The man, I think it's cruel kind of what Jesus does. Like, hey, you're healed. Don't tell anybody. It's like, what? I got to hold this thing in? I got to keep this thing a secret? Don't you think as he ran to the priest and he was running, Forrest Gump style, he was running. Every time I hear running, it's like, and he was running. I mean, he was running to the priest. He wasn't walking, it wasn't a stroll, he was running. And what do you think people said as he was running? That guy don't stink anymore. And he was a millennial trying new deodorants, you know what I mean? Oh, gosh. He don't stink. I've just offended every millennial in here. Just, no. He don't stink anymore. He looks different. There's something different about that guy. And what did they want to know? What happened? What happened? Listen, live in such a way that people want to know what happened. Live in such a way that people go, man, what happened to you? And here's what happened. I've done a lot of messed up stuff. I've not made good decisions. God forgave me anyway. He died for me. And he says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me, so now I can overcome. I'm empowered. Every time God extends his grace, he empowers me to be stronger and to share that love. That's what he's done to me. Nobody can argue that. Nobody can say to you, no, no, no. Nobody can look at the leper and go, you weren't really healed. No one could go, I mean, it probably is a coincidence. You probably put on the right cream. There was an oil for that. And so now you got healed of leprosy. You know what I'm saying? All my oil people in here, not knocking oils. Not knocking oils. Put them on. Love me some lavender. I'm not saying any of that. Okay? I'm not saying. But you couldn't take the healing away from them, right? You could not take it away from him. You couldn't take away the joy. You couldn't take away that he was healed. You couldn't take away that he's changed. And they can't take away your story either. Oh, no, no, no. I know how you used to be. I know you're not really changed. There's no way. I know how you used to be. But as you've been forgiven much, watch the way that transformed to how you praise much, how you share much, how you extend grace much. Because Jesus said in the end, forgive as you have been forgiven. Man, what a hard thing to do. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads? Just a moment. I'm going to have my good friend Ray come up, and we're going to have a time of communion. And this is just a time for us to say, God, thank you for your blood that was shed for us, your body that was broken. If you're in this room and you've never taken communion here before, this is open invitation to anybody. You don't have to be a person that attends here. Anybody is open to take communion, but I understand if you don't want to. But in a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to come to either table. There'll be a table in the back, and you can go. I'm asking you to go this section, come this way. This section, go to the back. This section, come this way. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be chaotic. Pass people as you go. Don't spill your juice. And I'm asking you to take it back to your seat. And as you take it back to your seat, just stand there and then we'll give you instructions from there. But this is a time for us to say, God, thank you for what you've done. And I want us to pause and to think. And we are blessed. But as David said, our sins are forgiven. That's what Jesus does. Our sins are forgiven. Let me pray, and then you can stand. Jesus, thank you for your word. God, thank you for who you are, the way you love us today. God, we are undeserving. Our sin is like filthy rags, but you came and said, I've come to wash the slate clean, to make you pure, as white as snow. God, that we can walk in freedom. We can walk in forgiveness. And we can walk in this life of liberty because of what you've done. And so, God, we thank you for the way you've saved us, the way you love us, the way you forgive us. God, the way you empower us with your grace and your mercy. We are thankful people today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And please, come receive the elements today.